and very crowded. Not the ideal situation for someone to want to walk around wearing long sleeves all day. On this particular day of the fair, my teammates and I had gone down to the main gates of the fairgrounds to volunteer for iCareers Day. As we milled around with the other volunteers, I noticed someone wearing something very familiar. As I took a second glance, I saw Commissioner Ball weaving his way through fairgoers wearing an FFA jacket. While the rest of us were complaining about the heat being in polos and khakis, Mr. Ball always had a smile on his face. It was clear to see just how excited he was for the event and to show off his new FFA apparel. That same joy and excitement was clear a few weeks prior when my teammates and I interacted with him at the Groton FFA chartering ceremony. It was there where we were able to give Commissioner Ball the gift of the blue jacket. Seeing him wear that same jacket weeks later showed us that he truly valued and appreciated it. His joy and commitment to everything he does is something that I will always remember and admire in a leader. That joy, passion, and excitement for all is clear in everything he does, whether he is home on his farm, weaving through crowds at State Fair, at a board meeting for one of the many things he's responsible for, he shows passion for all that he does. He has been a key part and and you are grown and certified, giving urban students the opportunity to visit his farm, the dairy crisis, and much more. It is my honor to introduce our friend, Mr. Richard Ball, the Commissioner of Agriculture.
Well, thank you very much for that. I'm going to try not to be undone by those very kind remarks, but thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you here today, finally, to highlight a little bit about agriculture and the state of it in New York State. This is probably the best and largest networking opportunity for agriculture anywhere in the nation. I can remember piling in the car with Jim and Cindy Barber, my neighbors in the Schoharie Valley. Jim would say, why don't you sit in the back with Dad, Roger Barber, you guys can talk about ag stuff, and come in here and just appreciating the network, the opportunities that we have to share with each other, renew friendships. It's been very special to me for many years. Things that I learned here inspired much of what I do on my farm today. And in fact, it was right here in 2014, Diane Held introduced me as Commissioner of Ag for the first time. I really appreciate your patience, and I really appreciate the Peterson brothers standing in for me at noontime. I spoke to them a little earlier, and in light of our highlights on food safety, they've agreed to help issue a new recording with me, actually called We're Safety and We Know It. I was in Albany yesterday as the governor presented his State of the State of address, and I was in Albany again this morning to meet with him again. And as you can already see, we're doing things a bit differently here at Ag Society. It's a new year, a new decade. I guess it's fitting that we change things up a bit. So this year you get to hear from me in the afternoon with some neat props, and I understand some photographs up on the screen to fill the screen as we tell our story here. And in spite of all the things that we do have to worry about today in agriculture and today in New York State and today in the United States, our story is a pretty great one. I'm proud and grateful for the opportunity to continue to be your commissioner and tell that story, to advocate for you in Albany, and to work side by side with all of you from our farmers, our producers, food and beverage businesses, our partners in ag and education to further this mission to grow our shared industry. Agriculture, and this is a quote, agriculture holds the key to improvement of public health, expansion of rural employment, the enrichment of education, and the enhancement of quality of life. That was from Prince Charles. He knew it, and he expressed what we here all know. Before I begin, I want to acknowledge some of the outstanding awards that were delivered today, starting with our Outstanding Service to Agriculture Award recipient, Dean Bohr. We have never had a better relationship between the Department of Agriculture and the College of Ag and Life Sciences than we have today. So thank you. I think the word that we've always shared is collaboration, and that is the way forward, no question about that. We also have with us, I understand, Assemblyman Cliff Crouch. He must have drove almost as fast as I did from Albany today. Assemblyman Crouch is here, former Senator Kathy Young, now Director of the Center of Excellence in Agriculture at Cornell Agritech. We've got some past commissioners here, and I would ask that we recognize them, Pat Hooker, Dick McGuire, and I know Nathan Rogers was here. Thank you for being an inspiration to me, and thank you for being an inspiration to all of us. Let's give them a round of applause. I know Farm Bureau's in the house. I know Tim Moore, the Dean of SUNY Cobleskill, is here, my neighbor. Dean, President of SUNY Morrisville, or Dave Rogers, thank you so much for being here. Chris Watkins is here from Cornell CCE. Thank you for being here. And of course, special thanks to our hosts, the New York State Agricultural Society, Elizabeth Claypool, and Noble Shepherd, the mother of Lucy, and the entire tremendous board. Thank you for all you do. I want to extend a special recognition to all our award winners today, presented their special honors throughout the day, from the Century Farm Awards, to our Next Generation Farmers, to our FFA, and to our Farm Safety Awardees. Let's give them all a round of applause, if you would. I'd also like to recognize the staff at the New York State Department of Ag and Markets who are with us today, who work very hard in support of all of agriculture, protecting our food supply, our farmland, the health of our plants and livestock, and promoting our producers. I would ask them to stand and remain standing until I'm done reading there, because I want you to look at them and recognize them and feel totally able to approach them with whatever your issues are. Deputy Commissioner Kevin King, Deputy Commissioner Dave Valesky, Deputy Commissioner Jackie Zub, Dr. David Smith, your state veterinarian, Director of Intergovernmental Affairs, Jeff Palmer, Director of Policy, Sita Fay, Director of Public Information, Yola Zubielski, our Public Information Specialist, Hannah Burkhead, New York State Fair Programming Director, Christina Nowak is here, Marketing and Promotion Specialist, Tia DiCarlo, Jessica Brooks, Lindsay McMahon, Policy Coordinator, Steve Schrimmer, Farm Products, Wendy Ingersoll, Food Inspector for FSI, Judy Luttrell, no stranger to you folks, Environmental Analyst, and Lucy Shepherd, if she's still in the room, a fellow who we had to let go to another opportunity in her life. These people work very hard for you. They work on the clock, 24/7, just like farmers. They make my life easy, and they work very hard for what you do. So let's give them a round of applause, please. I remember when I first took on this role in January of 2014, calling up Pat Hooker, and I said, "What is a commissioner walking into over at the department?" And what I found was a remarkable group of people that are very dedicated to what you do each and every day. As I mentioned, I was with the governor's cabinet members yesterday and today. We met together with him this morning, and it reminded me of things that he shares with us every time we get together as a cabinet. And it's about bureaucracy. You know, government is typically bureaucracy. It's consumed with process. The processing of documents and function, the input and output every day, and the governor asks us and challenges us constantly to question everything, to question the process. Always the end goal of not just moving the process along a little faster, but answering the question, what did you do to make a New Yorker's life better today? That's the theme at each and every cabinet meeting that we have. And when he asked me to take this job, he asked me to be part of the team. Those were the words that he used. Acting as a team, I believe, instead of in working in silos, we have the opportunity to make change. Yesterday, I had the privilege of attending the 2020 State of the State Address. The governor gets to chart the state's course for the next year and ultimately set us on a path for the next decade. He stressed the power in working together as one. There's an awful lot of goals in the new year, and many of the governor's State of the State proposals, which I'll talk about in more detail shortly, will have a great impact on agriculture and set us on a path as we continue to work through the uncertainties on the federal side and in the marketplace. This morning with the governor, we spoke about making progress happen. We acknowledge that the world is facing very complicated times and even hostility. There are issues that appear insurmountable at times, and there is a dramatic lack of trust out in the world. But here in New York, he and we feel that we're in a good place, that we've faced adversity before, and New York can handle this. This was a pretty challenging year for agriculture weather-wise. Starting right off the bat, we had a very cold, wet spring, which delayed planting across the state, and some areas of the state did not finish planting, followed by more weather again at harvest time. The list of issues facing us is daunting: labor, immigration, climate change, infrastructure, trade, confusion in Washington. Trying to build a consensus to address any, let alone all, of these issues is challenging. But this is not the first occasion for challenge in the U.S. I was reading recently, looking back at history. I like to think of myself as a student of history. And I looked back at the era surrounding World War II. I thought about the Roosevelts, and in particular, Eleanor Roosevelt. Obviously, very challenging and difficult times back then. She was asked about the enormity of the issues that they faced. She would say the fear surrounding the job clouds our vision, and in fact, that fear may be the greatest challenge. Instead of giving in to fear, she proposed, in her mind, a four-step process. Number one, empathy. Number two, investigation. Number three, education to shape a public opinion. And finally, evaluation. I think we would do well to follow that process and guide us as we go forward here. I think many of us are looking to this new year and a new decade with a sense of hope for a turnaround, particularly in some of our most challenged areas, like our dairy sector, which has now endured several years of low prices. I was recently talking with Tom Vilsack, former Secretary of Agriculture and now head of U.S. Dairy Export Council. He estimates that the U.S. lost 3,000 dairy farms just in 2018, and they quit the industry over trade issues with China, in his opinion. New York was not spared from any of that. So rightfully, trade and labor continue to top our list of concerns at the department. This fall, I represented New York at the 28th annual meeting of the Tri-National Accord. This is an annual meeting between the U.S. Secretaries, Directors, of agriculture across the country, the secretaries from the 32 states in Mexico, and the ministers of agriculture in Canada. This closely followed along the path of NAFTA and serves as an opportunity for the three nations in North America to come together and talk about trade issues and some of the irritants that come up in commerce between our three countries. The accord rotates between the three countries. This year's meeting was in Winnipeg, Manitoba. Last year's accord was in the state of Nuevo León, Mexico, and next year it will be in Washington, D.C. It'll be our turn to host. And I remember I was on the plane heading to Manitoba, and I was wondering, why Manitoba? Why in the world in November am I heading to Manitoba? That's where cold comes from, I think. Manitoba, for those of you who don't know, a vast prairie province just above Minnesota. Its capital, Winnipeg, is located at the fork of two rivers. It's at the forks, as they call it, that years ago they discovered evidence of habitation from 6,000 years ago. This was a special place 6,000 years ago. And remarkably, evidence of trade from over 600 years ago. So suddenly, 28 years of discussions at the Accord seemed kind of pale in comparison to the fact that trade had been going on in North America over 600 years ago. That's why Winnipeg was there. Trade is very important to the United States. We all know how critical our open markets are. In New York, 48% of what we produce is exported. And if you think about it, those of you who are also students of history, the Great Depression became great after international trade was frozen for 10 years. Our two largest trading partners in the world are Canada and Mexico. China dominates the headlines, but for us in New York, what we do with Canada and Mexico really dwarfs that. About 25% of fresh apple exports in the country go to Mexico. Mexico is our largest dairy customer, buying 25% of our exports. For New York alone, that represents about 17% of our dairy. We have a possible solution ahead of us. It could be ratified this afternoon or tomorrow in the USMCA. We all three countries talked about this quite actively, particularly the agricultural parts of that. This will provide greater export markets for our dairy farmers, and there is a potential that this is going to happen again very soon. In fact, there may be agreement reached with China as well, although that seems to fluctuate daily. At this year's accord, and the last of three accords, I was able to lead the discussion on dairy, on food safety, and on labor. Interestingly enough, the most dramatic and heartwarming conversation that we had was on rural development and labor between the three countries. Probably one of our biggest limiting factors in growth of agriculture today is labor and the availability of a legal and stable workforce. We've had a failed immigration system and policy in the U.S. for over 20 years. We do not have enough workers in our fields. We do not have enough middle management on our farms. We do not have enough upper management on our farms, as well as in our food and beverage and processing industries. Today, we have a little bit of optimism in Washington with the new Farm Worker Modernization Act. You talked about that a few minutes ago. Recently passed by the House of Representatives and headed to the Senate. I would strongly encourage you to take a close look at this and weigh in with our Senate leadership and other senators as well. Here in New York, January 1st, we saw the new Farm Worker Laborers Fair Labor Practices Act. This is the most sweeping change in farm employment in history in New York, and we're faced with a very huge educational challenge to get our farms, to get our farm workers up to speed, as well as the need for clarity with some of the fundamental language currently in the new law. This is of great concern to our entire ag community and to the Department of Agriculture and to the Department of Labor and to the Governor's Office. We are talking daily, and I remain committed and optimistic that we will get this right. So as 2020 begins, the challenges we have dealt with over the last few years have some promise of resolve. I'm more hopeful than I have been in a long time for New York farmers. I'm proud of the programs we've put in place to help our ag community weather the current conditions and the governor's newly announced proposals to build a framework to grow for the future. Cue the pictures. I'm going to run through a litany of things that we're working on here and some new things that we're going to see. To help New York farmers facing today's difficulties, the governor is proposing some significant tax cuts in his State of the State. These include tripling the current income exclusion, reducing taxable income and liability for thousands of farmers, and making the investment tax credit, which is currently only available for new businesses, refundable for farming operations. We can't talk about the future of our farming community without talking about our resources, especially our water and our land. A newly proposed initiative the governor announced as part of the State of the State reimagines the Erie Canal. This will make sure farmers in this area, Western New York, have reliable access to water in the event of drought and during critical growing season. A smart water management system will monitor water output from the Erie Canal as well as weather conditions. We've made great progress with our Climate Resiliency Farming Grant Program, and our commitment to water quality and soil protections is stronger than ever. We've had some amazing success with our Farmland Protection Program. In 2019, we actually celebrated a major milestone with the Brocklebank family in Canandaigua. We visited with them, and at that day, we announced that we have more than 75,000 acres of farmland protected in New York State since the inception of this program. Somebody wants to clap for that, that's okay. That's nearly 300 farms that will now be forever protected from development pressures, and that land will stay in agriculture. As we evaluated this accomplishment this past year, we knew the program could help provide a lifeline to our industries that were hurting. So as part of the state's successful farmland protection program, we launched a dairy transitions program to help and target dairy farms, to help them diversify, transition their farms to the next generation, to a diverse crop mix, or to becoming more efficient, and again, keep that land in agriculture. New York State awarded more than $30 million to dairy farms in 2019, which will protect an additional 15,000 acres. And a second round of an additional $30 million was announced at the end of the year, and we're currently seeing those applications come in. But it's not just dairy that has struggled with trade and with market challenges. So I asked our Division of Land and Water to take a close look at our other commodities. What could we do to help our non-dairy operations that were also struggling with increased economic pressures from trade to climate change? I'm very happy to say that we're offering a $14 million program for this transitions program for non-dairy operations facing challenges in the marketplace. The craft beverage industry and the industrial hemp industry also continue to provide opportunity for diversification on our farms. This year's State of the State address laid out several proposals to further cut red tape for our craft beverage producers and make it easier to do business here. We have grown the hemp industry exponentially over the last few years, and in 2019, there was more than 20,000 acres of industrial hemp planted across the state, with over 400 growers taking part in our research program. As we move ahead, we envision great things to come from the hemp industry in New York. Truly phenomenal research is being done in the areas of CBD. We're proposing this year a new global cannabis center for science, research, education, and working with Cornell on seed varietals and identifying optimal growing conditions for successful hemp yields. And I would add that SUNY Morrisville has been a key partner as well. I want to take just a moment to mention to you the great resource we have in our New York State Seed Lab. Our director, Kyle Arvin, is doing some really great things there. The Seed Lab serves our ag community with state-of-the-art testing of hundreds of samples annually so that seed purchased by New York farmers and consumers is true to label claim, meets the minimum germination standards, and is free of noxious weed seeds. And since the lab opened at our new food laboratory building in Albany in 2017, we've seen a 32% increase in the number of samples tested. This is good news. Seed is no longer an incidental cost to farming. It's a major, major thing. You've heard me talk before about the great passion that I feel for the Farm to School program, how it's the greatest example of a giant handshake between upstate and downstate, rural and urban, and how it epitomizes the connecting of dots. I'm proud to say that 5 years after the creation of the program, we're moving the needle. I travel the state a lot, and I visited many schools last year, from Buffalo to Niskayuna to New York City. There is great energy and enthusiasm around this program. And since 2015, we have committed over $4.8 million to help literally hundreds of school districts serve New York products and to connect our farmers to new marketplaces. The New York Thursdays program that we began in New York City schools is growing, and more of our districts are committed to putting farm fresh foods on the menu, educating our youth about where their food comes from and how it's grown. Today, 38 New York State school districts currently have a New York Thursdays program, where every Thursday we celebrate New York State on the menu. To further expand the New York Thursdays program to more schools throughout the state, we will convene a working group this year to identify new ways to connect our farmers with the schools. We're going to look at innovative procurement solutions. We're going to work to remove barriers, keeping local produce out of the schools, And to start, the state will support a pilot program to replace individual serving milk cartons with bulk milk dispensers in school cafeterias, which will help reduce waste, save energy, and cut down on transportation costs. That couples very well with the governor's No Student Goes Hungry initiative, which has dramatically increased the state reimbursement for lunches this year in districts that purchase at least 30% of their ingredients from New York farms. You know, typically in a school, most of the funding for the school lunch programs comes from USDA, with some help from Department of Defense surplus, and the share in New York State for 40 years has been 5.9 cents of that meal. And it goes to 25 cents, provided that school is using 30% New York products. So I think that's a real game changer. But that's why you're here. Buffalo Public Schools was one of those stars that achieved that. I had lunch at Waterfront Elementary School in Buffalo and participated in a New York Thursday's local lunch with students just this last October. We had the Lieutenant Governor with us. Those students and me enjoyed New York hamburgers from Slate Foods. They enjoyed corn on the cob and kale salad from the Eden Valley Growers. They enjoyed potato chips from Marquardt Farms in Gainesville, New York. They drank milk from Upstate Farms. They had New York apples. They had New York juice, Concord grape juice, made with Concord grapes from our farms in Western New York. Think about this. Buffalo Public Schools has an enrollment of 38,351 students in more than 60 different schools in Erie County, and they are now sourcing 30% of their food from New York producers, New York food businesses. We're just getting started here. We've got more work to do in this area. We're actively working with schools around the state to help them reach this new goal with the financial incentive that goes with it. And we can get more New York-grown food into the schools and give our farmers a better marketplace to sell their products. We're also working very hard with our partners, our Milk Marketing Advisory Council, and the Dairy Promotions Order Board to improve the way we deliver and present milk and dairy products to today's school children. So I'm excited about the prospects, of what we can do when we actually work together. We've got a lot to celebrate when it comes to our young people and our members in blue jackets, who are our future. I would ask them at this time to stand up. If you're wearing a blue jacket, please stand up. This is your leadership. This is your future. Under the current leadership that we have in Albany, New York State dedicated over the last 3 years nearly $5 million in agricultural education to support workforce development. A record $3.6 million was invested in the 17-18 budget to support the New York FFA, New York Ag in the Classroom, to expand the number of ag teachers. All three of those are investments. Our state investments and the dedication of our FFA leadership is paying off. In just the last half year or so, I was proud to join the FFA, along with our ag chairs, our ag committee chairs from Albany, as we welcomed new members and celebrated new chapters around the state. And I even got a new jacket out of the deal. In fact, they've done such a great job. The New York FFA was recognized nationally for significant growth, increasing membership in the 18-19 school year by 60% from the previous year. This was the highest increase in the nation. That deserves a round of applause. Our FFA currently has 7,084 members across the state, up from 4,300 in 2017. This year, the New York FFA celebrated the addition of 13 new chapters in the state for a total of 41 new chapters since 2017. These are young people who are learning to work with their head and their hands. The New York FFA Leadership Training Foundation's Aswagachi Educational Center in Croghan, New York, which has poor cell service, I've discovered, is also currently under construction and expected to open this year. The governor supported this new learning facility with $2 million. There's a test kitchen, a food science lab, and those will offer instruction in food safety, helping our farmers become New York State grown and certified and finding other related careers in food processing. So as we talk about the next generation, we also need to think about our second career farmers and our new and beginning farmers. To expand on our efforts to grow opportunities for new farmers, to make land access easier, to support minority and women farmers, the governor has directed me to convene a work group committed to increasing diversity in farming across New York State. And I'm going to look to many of you here today to join me on this work group to strategize and devise a plan to support, increase, and diversify New York State's agriculture. Thank you. Every time I need a drink of water, you guys just break into spontaneous applause. I appreciate that. I've mentioned the New York State Grown and Certified program a few times. I was very excited about this the day the governor announced he wanted to put forth a meaningful program to market our farmers and producers who are producing food in an environmentally friendly way and with an eye towards food safety. New York Grown and Certified says three things. It tells you, number one, it's local. It tells you, number two, that the farm has an environmental plan for managing nutrients and water on the farm. And number three, it tells you that that farm has a food safety program embedded in the way they do business. New York State Grown and Certified has been ahead of the curve, helping to prepare our farmers for a future with more food safety requirements. The program has done a tremendous job of helping farmers and small businesses answer the demand from consumers for fresh, local food. And in 3 years, we have seen the program grow now to over 3,000 farms and representing over 775,000 acres of production in New York State. I recently got a chance to help cut the ribbon at the produce show in New York City, which is the second largest produce show in the country. We had an impressive presence with marketing, with advertising, our specialty crop growers and producers under the Grown and Certified brand. I'm proud to say that New York State is once again stepping up. Building on the New York State Grown and Certified's program for food safety requirements to establish the most robust set of operating standards for New York growers, producers, and retailers. A blue ribbon task force was proposed yesterday in the State of the State, which will look at produce traceability to provide consumers with more information about the source of the food that they eat. We'll also be looking at a pilot program to improve our state's readiness to handle the most serious of livestock diseases, using RFID tags and the technology in our livestock markets. Food safety standards are here, and they are here to stay with the implementation of the Food Safety Modernization Act. We're committed to doing all we can to help our producers get the training they need. It will be vital to the long-term success of our food industry and provide us with a continued edge in marketing our producers under programs like Grown and Certified and Taste New York. I invited the Deputy Commissioner of FDA to come visit a farm in upstate New York, my farm. And he flew up by himself a month ago, and we sat down at the Carrot Barn and we had lunch, and we talked about the issues it's going to take to get FSMA achievable across the country. Last year, we did almost 95 on-farm readiness reviews across New York State. And with Betsy Binn and Cornell, and the Produce Safety Alliance, we were able to train almost 800 farmers on food safety practices across the state. We lead the nation. In 2019, Taste New York continues to grow. The department hosted two additional Taste New York food and farm-to-business expos to help connect our food producers with buyers. Cornell Cooperative Extension did an amazing job with these events, and they continue to do an amazing job in operating some of our welcome centers around the state. Their work is appreciated and is truly making a difference for the businesses we promote. In fact, in 2018, Taste New York helped 1,800 local producers and companies connect with consumers, resulting in over $17.8 million in sales. That directly impacts our farms and our food businesses. Taste products are not only visible in our welcome centers, but also at key tourism destinations like Whiteface Mountain, and major events like the PGA, and at the State Fair. We've seen all this, and this has continued to exceed expectations. Speaking of the State Fair, every year Troy Wafner and his staff do a tremendous job showcasing the best of state's agricultural industry. From increased use of local food and beverages, to a new Green Fair 2023 initiative, to a brand new exposition center, the fair has moved forward in an incredible direction. Yet still the fair maintains the agricultural traditions that we know and we rely on. Dairy Day 2019 at the fair was perhaps the best Dairy Day I have ever had the honor of being part of. So with the governor's unprecedented investment in the fair set a fourth straight all-time attendance record in 2019 at more than 1.3 million people, shattering previous attendance records. That's the good news. The challenging news is he came over to me afterwards and said, "We're breaking a record this year." I'm serious. We're going to break a record this year. He has a vision for the fair and agricultural benefits as it remains central to the fair's mission through education and through exposure. As it continues to grow, so will the number of people who get to know New York agriculture. And getting people to know New York agriculture, getting people to know you, will be critical to our future and, frankly, to theirs. Those of us in production agriculture represent 1% of the population. You feed the other 99%. That's daunting. But if we think about it a little bit differently, if we look at the food system, if we include research, logistics, food service, technology, blockchain, food safety, we're talking about 43 million people working in food. That's 28% of our workforce in the United States. We need to identify those career paths for our next generation. I was visiting again, I mentioned earlier, with Tom Vilsack, former Secretary of Ag. We talked about the challenges faced by our generations. Our parents' generation fought World War II and built an incredible economy. Our generation has seen unprecedented change and growth in technology. And going forward, I think we can all see some of the challenges ahead. We've spoken about them today. We can see the challenges of climate and the environment and water use looming large. But always with challenges come great opportunity. The Secretary and I remembered the movie, The Graduate, and there's a few people in the room old enough to remember The Graduate. That was back in the 70s. Dustin Hoffman, a new graduate, was given advice from a senior, a well-meaning elder, I'm sure, and he said, "I have one word for you, plastics." And that was Dustin's instructions for success in life. For 2020, the advice should be food and agriculture. Food and agriculture. Sure, we're going to continue to see volatility in our market. We'll continue to see some weather challenges. But at the heart of it, we are in agriculture in New York in a very good place. We have good land. We have good resources. We have good talent. Some of the best producers in the country are in this room. We have the best land grant system for education and agriculture here. The biggest marketplace in the world is here. This room today is full of great minds and the talent we will need to connect all of these together to keep agriculture as a viable way to make a living in New York State. We are New Yorkers. We will not allow fear to stand in our way. I believe that we are up to the challenge. Our profession is noble, our cause is correct. I look forward to working with you on that. Thank you so much.
I always enjoy listening to our commissioner speak, and it makes my heart feel good. Makes me want to keep going. So thank you.